Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 11 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. This one's a great one. These are my who I am lucky enough to call good friends, Michelle and Andrew Munoz from Moose Craft Barbecue here in Los Angeles. Right now, we're seeing a growth in the underground barbecue scene where people are getting offset smokers and doing essentially Central Texas style barbecue, but at pop-up locations or secret locations, and it's definitely an interesting phenomenon that's happening. And Moose Craft Barbecue is easily one of the best that's out there. Their brisket is fantastic, pork ribs. They're making scratch-made sausage now, which is just awesome. Andrew's totally getting into that, so that's cool. And then they do specials like tacos or sandwiches. They do really cool stuff with their specials. And then all their sides, Michelle makes the sides, and they're just phenomenal. You can go eat just the sides alone and be happy. But you'll want to get a full meal, and you want to get a full plate. And their plates look gorgeous too. It's kind of like how you would see Truth in Brenham, Texas, or other places across Texas where there's just gorgeous plates of barbecue. And Moose is putting out beautiful plates. And when you come and visit them, there's always a line, but they get through that line and they're cordial and they greet every single person that comes up and chats them up if they want to talk. And generally it's one or two of their family members or really, really good friends that are working there. So it's kind of it's a family affair, and a lot of times it's at a brewery, so that's an awesome scene. But they're cool people, and I'll put links to all their stuff below. You should definitely follow what they're doing, and if you're in Los Angeles, you have to stop at Moose Craft Barbecue.
Start off the interview talking about Cadillac Barbecue. Andrew had just visited, and then we kind of jumped to the interview there.
I really think you're gonna like it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no, he was there. He was taking care of business. Like, he was slicing briskets, and like, he didn't have really much time for that. And I was just like,
How long was the line, real quick? What was it like?
I waited like 20 minutes, I got there. I think they open at 11. I got there like at 10:30. No, they open at 10:30. I got there at like 10-ish, 10:15. Uh-huh. And now I think they just start the line. They open when the first person gets there.
Okay.
Just to kind of get ahead of that long line. So I jumped in line, waited about 15 minutes, and by the time I got my food, I looked outside and the line stretched to probably about an hour long.
So okay. But he said he acted like he was pretty efficient.
No, I got my food, and you know, it's kind of like the cafeteria line, just like most of those Texas places are,
kind of like a serpentine, almost kind of like that.
Yeah, like a meat market. Yeah. Like a butcher style, where you just kind of run across the line and you get what you need. It moved pretty quickly. It was just, you know, there's just so many people. You can only slice so fast, and they had two slicers.
Yeah. And then you brought food home to Michelle, right?
Yeah. I did. Yeah. So I ordered, it was me and I met a coworker there. She met me there, and I ordered, I think, like $160 worth of barbecue.
That sounds like Andrew, doesn't it?
Yeah, we probably ate like $30 of it, and then I butcher paper wrapped the rest of it, threw it in my bag, and then got stopped at TSA. Then they let me go, and then I carried it on.
What did they say at TSA? I'm gonna put some of this in this.
I always bring stuff, so I'm kind of used to it. Uh-huh. And I knew it was gonna be the sauce, because the sauce was it was larger than 4 ounces. There was less than 4 ounces in there, but it was just the size of the container itself. And they opened it, and they're like, "Oh, you're fine." Most of the time, they don't want to deal with the mess, because I double bag the sauces because sometimes they pop.
Yeah. Maybe that's something that like these barbecue joints need to know. They should get like 4 ounce and smaller containers for people.
Yeah, Pecan Lodge does that. I went there.
Dude, really?
That, 2 years ago, I had the night before. I was like at Lockhart Smokehouse, mm-hmm. and so I had my fix there, and it was all for research. And the next day, I went and had their sandwich. I think it's called the Pitmaster. It has like everything in it, and at Cadillac, they call it the Todd Father.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And so I went there and had the sandwich, but then I ordered like a whole bunch of stuff to go, and I told them I was going to take it on their plane, and they packed it really nice, and they put everything in really small containers.
Yeah,
I went straight through TSA with no issue. They didn't even check it.
Yeah, that's genius. So they're probably used to people taking stuff off.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
To people that they love, right?
Yeah, all their barbecue fans. It is. Long lines of, actually, at when I went to Pecan Lodge the first time, I had a 1 o'clock flight. They open at 11, and so I was the first one in line. And I got my food. I got to ring the. They have a little cowbell there, so I got to ring the service bell and got my food and ate really quick. Drove over to the airport, jumped on the plane, and flew back home.
Is that something for the first person in line at Pecan Lodge? Is that?
You know, I don't know if that's something they do all the time, but they let me ring the bell.
He called me right away right after he rang the bell. He was so excited about it.
This was like 4 or 5 years ago. So this is when I was barely really starting to get like get to know what real Texas barbecue was. So that was the first time there. I was pretty excited about it. I went there on a Monday. My flight landed, and instead of going into the office, I went straight there. And I could smell the smoke in the air, but they were cleaning on Monday. They're closed on Monday, so I was disappointed. I had to go back, so I went back on Wednesday, and then flew home afterwards.
I was gonna say I didn't think they were open on Monday.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that either. I thought, you know, I didn't realize how long it actually took back then. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, just like any other, if it's Monday, you should be open, right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now I know the rules. Most places they're not gonna be open on Monday, probably even Tuesday.
Yeah, very few are open on Tuesday, and then so it's Wednesday. So let's jump in. Well, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm glad I got a chance to finally talk to you guys. That's we've been going back and forth. So what is your background? What are both your backgrounds? How long have you guys been married?
We've been married 10 years. Weeks ago?
We just celebrated 2 weeks ago. Yeah. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Nice.
Been together for 21 years.
Yeah.
Whoa. Nice.
Yeah. We met in high school. Her freshman year, I was a junior, and then she like stalked me and.
Oh, was that whatever?
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
Well, of course. But are you guys from Los Angeles?
Yeah, we are. We went to high school in Montebello, and she grew up in like Monterey Park area and in Whittier. She split time between both places. And then I was East Los Angeles, then Whittier. And in between there, we lived in Fresno for a couple of years.
Okay. Oh, Fresno. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the way. You guys, so you guys got married 10 years ago. Were you living at the location that you have your pop-up right now, or did you?
No.
Yeah, we're pretty close by. Maybe
a few blocks away.
About maybe like 2 miles down, a little further east. We were renting a place, and the owner passed away, and the family decided to sell the units and the house that she had. It was literally like two houses right next to each other.
Okay.
And so we were going to rent something else, and we decided to buy at the time, and it worked out.
And were you guys at that time? Were you guys cooking barbecue at all, or cook? You guys probably cook a lot, because it seems like now when I see your feeds and stuff, you guys love food. So were you guys cooking things that eventually became part of your barbecue menu at all, or how?
So we've always been a fan of cooking. My wife more than I like actually cooking inside and doing different types of dishes, and then. Growing up, my dad always used to barbecue, make food. It really wasn't that good. I used to think it was good.
Is he there?
He's there. Yeah.
That's not cool. It was amazing.
He said, I still ate it. But, so when we got married,
it's more grilling, probably, right? More grilling.
Yeah, it was more grilling, propane, which I don't do the propane stuff. But so when we got married, we actually had a little Kenmore propane grill, and then we did that. I did that. I learned on that. Burned a lot of stuff, and then and then when we bought the place we're at now, I wanted a bigger propane grill, so I bought a big one, and then I was just like, oh, this is not a lot of fun at all. You turn it on, you go through a 5 gallon propane and like two cooks. Uh-huh. But just like, eh. So I took it back within like a month, bought a Weber charcoal grill.
Okay.
And then went on YouTube and started seeing like, how do I do ribs? And, you know, you can do like maybe one rack or two racks and do that little offset thing that people do or indirect
heat. But yeah, move the coals. So yeah.
Yeah. So I started doing that, and it was kind of funny because, you know, now we have a really simple recipe. It's Central Texas style or Texas style. So the rubs are pretty simple. You really rely on your smoke as your one of your main ingredients. Mm-hmm. And so I found a Ziploc bag, and the dry rub recipe for the ribs was crazy. It must have been like 9 or 10 different ingredients in it. Yeah, different spices. So we've definitely dialed it back a bit. But yeah, so that's kind of where it started. We did that, and then kind of got more into it. Then I went to Texas and was introduced to, you know, real barbecue by the coworker that I actually had lunch with at Cadillac 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so did that, then came back home, and then was kind of sad because there really wasn't much out here. There was Bledsoe's, so I would go to Bledsoe's. Mm-hmm.
The Compton one?
The Compton one, yeah, definitely the Compton one. But
like both you guys would go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think she saw it on the news.
I saw it and they hyped it up and I was like, that looks so K-Cal good. Finally, we have to go try barbecue in LA. Let's go check it out.
Yeah, and it was really, and it's, you know, it was literally
cool spot.
It was such a cool spot.
They had the offset smoker right there. And
we thought that was so cool.
Yeah, and I used to think that pit was so huge, enormous. You know, it actually was a pretty good sized pit. It's probably like a 750, I think. But
he had a number of pits out there. I think he had a couple though.
He had like the commercial pits afterwards just to keep up with demand, but I think initially he started with that offset. Mm-hmm. It was Texas made. I remember it said Texas made and it said the company, but other than that I can't remember exactly where it came from.
Was that the one with the Dallas Cowboys logo, or was that a different one?
Yeah, that one.
I think
so, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Barbecue brings people together.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we love about it now. Yes. You know, we do these long cooks and it gets hectic. We have two kids.
I know.
And my dad never leaves, so, you know, that kind of gets crazy. But
he's always watching your interview.
we have a lot of help from family, so that makes it a little bit easier. Definitely. But it's a lot of hard work, and sometimes we're like, why are we doing this? And then when we do the pop-ups and we meet all these different people and, you know, we see all these, you know, friends come together or people come separate and then they come back together, you know, people make friends. So yeah, it definitely brings people together. And we like to see that.
And that seems to be like the overriding thing with these interviews that I've been doing is the extended barbecue family. And once you do what you do, if you went to like Memphis in May, you'd all of a sudden have a bunch of new friends, even though just talking about barbecue and what you guys did, it's a kinship. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Just like we were in Austin in September and we went to Snows on Saturday and the guy right in front of us does that Best Barbecue podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I had just started listening to the show, so I recognized him because I followed him on Instagram. And so I just asked him and he's like, oh yeah. So we started talking. I didn't tell him what we did. And I think I tagged him in like a video or a story, like with Tootsie in the background. And I just like tagged him and, you know, I pinned it. And we just kept talking. He never brought up what we did. And then, like, I guess he had a chance to look at our feed. And then, you know, he's like, oh, you want to do our podcast? We're like, hell yeah. But
really good, too. You guys did a great job.
But ever since then, like, we've kind of just been in communication. So, yeah, it brings people together. You meet new friends. Yeah. And, you know, we try to network where we can. And, you know,
And I think it's of any industry, it seems like the most supportive. Like people really support each other. There's not that many people that are as cutthroat. It's more like we all want to. If we're all successful, that's the main goal.
I want to help each other out.
Yeah. Well, it's really hard to do anyway. So if it seems like there's more people willing to do it these days than maybe in the past. But yeah, if you're willing to put in the work and learn how to do it, then yeah, why wouldn't people support what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. When did you guys start doing the cooks at your house? Like with the public, was it something that did when? So Moose, whose idea was Moose? The name Moose.
So Moose, that came from high school actually. My last name is Munoz, and one of my teachers would just call me Moo for short when they'd take attendance, and so I just stuck with my friends, and so they all just call me Moo, and so anything I did, like I used to DJ, and so it was like DJ Moo, and then and. Yeah, and so when we started the pop-ups, it was just like, I actually didn't want to use Move, like, at all. We were trying to think of something different, and it was like, no, you have to use Move somewhere.
You have to, yeah.
And so we played around with a couple of different names, and then we ended up putting Move in it, and I think it was like Move's Craft Meats at first.
Yeah, we changed it around.
We changed it around, and it ended up being Craft Barbecue, so.
And was that the name that you guys used at the very beginning when you guys first started doing the pop-ups, the underground pop-ups at your house?
I think the actual, yeah, we already had, yeah.
Decided on it. It was like, that's what it's going to be, Moose Craft Barbecue. Let's just start an Instagram page, name it that, leave it at that, and let's see what happens.
And how did that first cook go? How did that first day?
It actually was pretty good. We were shocked.
We were so nervous, remember?
Yeah, we were nervous. We're like, is anybody going to come? It was invite only, just like the ones we did afterwards, do a DM. But still, like, people say they're going to come, and, you know, you really don't know if they're coming. And
true.
So I think we did a couple of briskets that day.
I think the very first was about
three. I think we did three.
Okay.
Briskets.
How many racks? We did some ribs.
Maybe probably a case or two. So, like, maybe 9 racks or it was probably 9 racks. Like, just something small, just and then a whole bunch of sides.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of sauces. Michelle was playing around with
different
styles. So we had like a spread, and I think it was maybe 4 or 5 different styles of sauces.
Oh, nice.
And I just wanted something simple, something that reminded me of what I had in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that, and then we had 4 others that, you know, just had good flavor profiles of what we thought were good. And then we kind of just asked. We were like, which one do you guys like? Which one do you guys like? And so just based on response from people who came, that's kind of how we narrowed it down. We had 2, and now we're just doing 1 sauce. But
was this last year or the year before?
All this year, February.
All this year. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had the Yoder, and I was already cooking for myself and for neighbors, for friends. You know, if they didn't ask me to bring anything, I would still bring it. Like if there was a fight. If we were going to a birthday party, I'd be like, okay, I'm bringing a brisket. Like, you don't even have to ask. So we started doing that. And then people just started asking us if we could make it. And so we said, yeah, at first. And, you know, I'd get paid in like nice craft beers or something. And, you know, really didn't think about it. And then afterwards, we're like, well, you know, we're starting to get a little bit of a demand from family and friends. Let's maybe venture out of that. And so, so we tried to do catering, and if nobody's tried your food, then it's a little harder to do that.
True.
So we literally had 0 response. Like we said, November. So it's been a year, and so we had friends still. They ordered like for Thanksgiving, and they had like Christmas orders, and so we were still busy, but it wasn't like how it is now, or even at our first pop up. So then. We saw Fern and we saw Bert doing what they were doing. We saw Fern first, and
a lot of other underground,
but specifically like in the area. So we went and tried Fern, and we're just like, oh, that's good. And then afterwards, I saw Bert, and I was like, hey, that's exactly what I'm doing, like, exact same style barbecue. And so we were like, okay, well, yeah, if he can get away with it on the west side, I'm sure we can get away with that on the east side. so we just changed it, and we set up the Instagram page, and we did our first pop-up, and we were kind of nervous about it. And
really nervous about
Are you nervous about who would show up, or nervous about doing it in general?
About doing it. I think we were really excited, and we felt really inspired from seeing like Bert and Ragtop Fern and others doing underground food, not necessarily in barbecue, but just getting, we felt really inspired by others, but we just didn't know what the turnout was going to be like.
True. Yeah.
Like, all this food, we spent 18 hours or so smoking this barbecue.
And then,
what if no one shows up?
That's and true. Then, very true. Too,
like, well, yeah, you have family and friends who say, oh, it's really good, but you know, they're not paying for it. So then you have people come and then they're buying it, you might get a different response. That's so true. So that's what I was worried about, and this response was good on both, you know, on both ends afterwards. So then it kind of helped my confidence with it, and then we just started running with it.
Did you sell out that first time?
We actually did, yeah. Whoa. We actually did.
Good job.
We did the 3 briskets, and so it wasn't too hard to sell out. We sold out within 3 hours.
We were so stoked.
Yeah, we were excited.
Just, like, and, we were like, oh my God, we did it. And as soon as we were done, let's do it again. Yeah. Like, when are we going to do it? And then we promised. We're like, we're going to do this. We can't do this every weekend because it's really difficult with the kids and a full-time job. But we're going to do it every other weekend. We're just going to make it work. And since February, we started. February 26th was our very first pop-up.
26, somewhere in there.
And we've just been nonstop since then.
That's so crazy. So when did you guys start doing collaborations with breweries and stuff? Is that kind of...
Yeah, that came after. So in June, we got the feature on Eater LA.
Okay.
Farley had come to our house one time, and then we talked, and then he did the feature and came back and ate again, and they did photos, and then I think it was really quick. Like, he that guy writes so many stories.
Yeah, like eight a day or something like that. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And so he did our story, and our Instagram follow we already had like 3,000 I think at the time, but it just jumped by like another 1,000. And then when he came to the first pop-up, they posted a picture on Eater LA, mm-hmm. and it jumped by 1,000 then too, close to like maybe 800 or 900. So it jumped pretty quickly. And after the Eater LA feature, we decided, you know, we probably shouldn't do them at our house anymore. We did like one more, I think, right before.
We're having people.
And and I was like, wow, there's nobody here yet. And it was like maybe 10 minutes before we started. And usually people get there a little early. Uh-huh. And that day I had a cord of wood dropped off on my yard in the front. Uh-huh. So I needed wood, and I ran out to the front, and I saw one of my coworkers. I was like, oh, you're the first one here. And he's like, no, there's a line down the block. And I was just like, oh.
Really? Was it really?
Yeah, I went outside, and the line went like maybe three houses. And I was just like, oh, no, you guys get
you
back
guys
here.
Need to get inside.
Yeah,
so, so we pulled them into the yard, and our backyard's not very big. You've been to our backyard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they kind of circled. They made a U-shape in that little driveway on the mm-hmm. backside of the fence. And that was probably one of the last times we did one at home. We just decided if we're going to do them at home, they have to be really small events.
Right.
But for the most part, let's just see if we can do breweries. So,
especially since we had the pit now that was on a trailer.
Yeah, that too.
And, you know, we could be mobile. We
like the
mobile
timing worked out. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You had a bigger pit too, which was,
yeah. The first time you came, we just had the little Yoder.
Uh-huh. And I think you were working on that other one, or?
Yeah, we were working on the other one, and we literally finished that. We finished that one in June, and the first event we did was with Fat Stack Smokers and that pit, mm-hmm. our pit and that pit. And then at the end of the night, I ended up coming home with two pits. So I had a 500 and a two. I needed more space, and then
so crazy.
And then afterwards, I had more space than I knew what to do with. And so, so we definitely can meet the demand of the pop-ups we do now.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes life a lot easier in the middle of the night. Like, you're not really fighting for space when you have.
And how much are you cooking at those, the most recent pop-ups?
It varies. So what I did was I set up like I created a website, and on that website I'll put the events, and I put an RSVP tag on there just to kind of gauge people's interest. Like, you can RSVP.
That's a good idea.
You don't really have to, mm-hmm. Because it's first come, first serve, but. You know, if we're doing one a brewery, and so like when we did McLeod, that was like a collab with a bunch of people, and we must have had over 100 RSVPs, which was insane.
That's insane.
And more than that showed up. I think there was maybe 400 or 500 people that day. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
And but for our normal pop-ups, we'll usually get like 20 RSVPs, but it's usually more that show up because that's just the website.
Yeah.
And so. I figure a lot of the people that are clicking on the website RSVP are the people that started following us after the LA Times feature we had with Fern and Race.
Yeah.
And
which was a really cool feature. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
That's huge. Congratulations on that one. That was really cool.
Yeah, we went and bought like six papers. So we're gonna eventually we'll get to it. We want to go frame it. And,
yeah, that'd be awesome. You should
frame so. In the future, if we ever open up something, we can put those on the walls. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. So are you cooking? So then you guys cook at home. Are you still cooking? Or you're cooking off-site, and then you bring it that morning. Usually you bring it that morning, right? So that way it's you're not necessarily cooking on-site, like at the brewery.
We're doing it varies. I don't think I answered that question. So so on average, maybe we do like 12 briskets, 15 briskets per pop-up. But we gauge it based on like the RSVP. That seems a little light. And actually, the last one The RSVP seemed a little light up until like the day before, but at that point, I really, you can't just throw more brisket.
No.
Yeah. So just like, okay, well, we'll do 12, and we did 12, and we did 12 briskets and I think like 18 racks of ribs, and then we did beef ribs in addition to that, and everything went in 3 hours. And pulled pork. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. For just a small little pop-up and you set up at a brewery and everything went. Like, we did not have like one slice of brisket or a rib left. It was pretty.
At the last one that I went to? That,
last one, yeah.
It was a pretty good sized line.
Yeah.
And it was steady. You guys had a steady flow. Like, you were putting people through pretty quick, and then also the line kept growing.
It just kept growing.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
And so you guys usually have brisket, pulled pork ribs, beef ribs, and then you do what sides? Because the sides are phenomenal.
Thank you. So I change it up. We always do beans with brisket. I do esquite, which is Mexican style street corn, and it's off the cob. And I add my cheese to it. And it's one of our most popular side dishes.
Corn's out of season right now. Yeah. So
I'm usually cleaning, husking, and cutting about 150 ears of corn. So it's a lot of work. But I love it. It's fun, and I get to enjoy seeing people, you know, enjoy it too.
Of course, that's huge.
And then we do mac and cheese, and we do potato salad. So depending on the pop-up, I kind of like to change the menu on it and just kind of see, you know.
The sides vary. Yeah, they vary. We try to do at least three different offerings. And if we're not, if it's been like, you know, like right now because of the holidays, we're like doing one pop-up a month. And then once January comes, I think we're doing like, it seems like we just found out we're going to do the sixth. And then we were planning on taking the first 2 weeks off in January and then picking up after that. But for the sixth, and I think we're on for the last 2 weeks of January for the last two are brewery events. And then the first one is going to be, it's probably going to be an underground pop-up at our house again. So that was a smaller thing, invite only. I'll let you know.
All right, cool. And the best way to get a hold of you guys, I'm not wrapping this up, but just the just so that people know, the best way to get a hold of you guys is through Instagram, or is it through your website, or
either or?
Yeah, Instagram or website, or email. So if you go to our website, you get our email there. You can subscribe to our website, and we have news. We definitely send out an email there. We try to keep everybody in the loop this way. Everyone can try us, you know.
And what are you guys cooking on? You have two smokers now. Is that weird?
Yeah, we do. Christine and Leona. So Leona's the big 500, and then Christine's the 250. We named the 250 Christine because it was out for blood when we were building it. So I did all the like most of the like steel fabrication, like cutting it, and I didn't cut the big tank. I had the Fat Stack guys do that. That's right around when I met them, and they volunteered to cut it in half and risk their lives. She didn't let me cut it. I was going to fill it with water. I filled it with water two or three times and drained it. And she was like, "You are not cutting it."
We have kids. Always slow it in East LA. There's
no. It's a little scary. I didn't ever.
So the guy who was welding it. So I did all the cuts. I kind of placed everything how I wanted it. And then my brother's friend, he came out and he did like the welding on it when our schedules lined up. So it was like a process of maybe 2 to 3 months once we actually got into it. And so we trailer mounted it, and it was back heavy. And it was more my fault because I was kind of in a rush to just get it on a trailer. So we were going to modify it. I rented a cherry picker and came over to my house, and he's cutting the trailer with the grinder to open up a space so that we can mount it where it needs to go. And the grinder kicked back at him, and he slit his wrist. So I took him to the emergency room, and it was actually dead that day. So they stitched him up, and he was back at my house in 45 minutes.
The Fat Stack guy?
No, yeah. It was my buddy Nakoma, and he's a welder also.
Okay.
So I had seen his welds like on Instagram. I was like, "Oh, those are pretty nice beads." So he came over and he did it. And So the trailer didn't work out, or he didn't finish that job. And so it was literally the same that weekend we were doing the clouds for the first time with FanStack. Sure. And they needed the pit because we just needed more than the 500. And so Eric at FatStack, he showed up. He was like, I'll go to your house at like 1 in the morning and fix it. I was just like, oh, yeah, come down. And I was like, well, that's probably not a good idea. But if you want to, if you really need the pit, if you can come at like 5 in the morning, 5:30, right when the sun comes up, and we can get this sucker done. He showed up, and I forgot to tell Michelle. And she got up and she heard the dog barking, our dog Brisket, and she was just like, oh my God, there's someone at the door. And I was just like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, that's Eric. He's a good guy. And so she's like, what's he doing here? I was like, oh, he's gonna fix the pit. So we fixed it and we got it on the road. So, but it almost killed him too. The grinder kicked back at him, but he was wearing long leather gloves, so it got him right on the forearm on the leather glove, welding gloves. So,
sure.
So the pit was out for blood. So that's why we named it Christine after
Stephen King.
Yeah.
Well, someday you might be able to have like a story. You can do like a short story, like a short horror story about your. About your pit. Hopefully it won't kill anybody. Hopefully it just that's it. Hopefully. So it's so interesting too. Like look at your life 5 years ago and then look at this life now. It's pretty amazing. What have you guys learned, do you think? Or what do you think? What should people also know about Moose that they might not know?
I don't know. I mean, we try to be open with everyone, but I mean maybe everybody doesn't know that we make everything from scratch. So there's not one thing that we do that we buy. I mean, obviously you got to buy everything somewhere, but like our pickles, everything we do.
Yeah, the onions, the pickles.
We pickle them. We started doing, I can never pronounce it right, but
escabeche.
Escabeche. the pickled jalapenos and carrots.
Vegetables.
Yeah, when we were in
Austin. That's so good.
Yeah, we were in Austin. I had it at a couple places, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so good. And, you could easily buy that in a can. I was just like, no, we're going to do it. We got to do it. Try to make it. And so at our last pop-up was the first time we felt comfortable sharing it. And people loved it. It all went. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we just make our job harder, you know. It's like, let's pile something else on there. So
we want, everything that we make, it's called Moose Craft Barbecue, and we want it to represent that, our craft. It comes from our heart. It comes from love. And, what we do is just something that we're very passionate about, whether it's, the barbecue or the sides, or it's just, we put our heart and soul into it, and we just love it. And we hope that everybody who comes and tries our food can taste that.
It comes through for sure. At least it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it also, you guys are really warm, and that's what's nice too, is that people get a chance to meet you guys. So every pop up, it's not like you're cooking and then a bunch of people are serving your food. It's actually you guys are doing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your family members, right? Too. Don't you have some that help out?
So we always have, it's on rotation, but. Consistently, it's always Andrew's dad, my father-in-law, who helps us out. Andrew's cousin comes down, and occasionally when they can't, we'll call up friends and be like, hey, you know what? They can't, or they're sick. Can you come help us out? But it's always either a close family or close friends or family who come and help us out. So
they're all family, essentially, right?
Yeah, I guess. Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's what you misspoke, but you weren't misspeaking because it's true. They're all family. Yeah, definitely. Family.
But yeah, we have a lot of support in that. We have a good rotation of family.
What did he say?
I don't know.
I met him too, right? He was at that last event, right?
What's that now?
Was that your dad talking?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I think he said even the bar, something about the barbecue side.
He says
even though his barbecue sucks, we still allow him to.
Oh, he's roping it back into that look.
That's why I can't focus. I'm like,
that's okay. No, I like this more because feel like it's more natural. This is who you guys are, as opposed to just like you're in some booth or something talking. It's just, this is your life. This is who you are. So are you guys, are there places that you, when you guys go out to Texas again, because the last time you went to Texas, you went to... I'm trying to think of all the places you guys lost.
We did.
We went to 12 Bones.
Yeah, we went to 12 Bones. Have you talked to Marco?
I have not yet. I'd like to, really.
That guy's such really nice cool.
Guy.
Yeah,
he's a cool guy. He's on my list.
Amazing barbecue.
His barbecue is great. The bark on his ribs was like, I was like, how do you do that?
Perfection. And
he was really open. He's like, oh, this is how I do it. And so I went home and I bought a couple of things and I tried it and I sent him pictures. He's like, yeah, it's looking good. So
that's cool.
So whenever I do ribs that I'm proud of or that I was like, okay, that came out kind of how I want them, I'll post them and he'll shoot me comments now. And
Yeah.
So it's really been cool since we've gotten back from Austin. And, you know, after the people we met out there, we still try to network with them and shoot them a message here or there.
We did 12 bones.
So we did 12 bones.
Valentine.
Yeah, Texas Ranch barbecue.
Great place.
And then that was actually the first barbecue we had when we were out there. When we got there, though, we did Ramen Tatsuya, which is a ramen spot out there that's amazing. If you're out there,
right? So good, yes.
So we did 12 bones, and then the next day we did Valentina's.
Mm-hmm.
We did,
we did so many, I can't remember now.
Yeah, I got it. So we did Valentina's, we did, Snow's. Snow's barbecue. We did Truth and met Dylan and Leonard. Yeah, and then we did Louis Mueller, and then on our way back into town, we stopped at Kreitz and just had a jalapeno cheddar.
And we did
La Barbecue. Yes. Yeah.
What a trip! What a great trip!
Yeah.
And we stopped at Franklin's, but it wasn't open.
It was during the remodel, right?
Yeah, and so he was actually there, and you know he talked to us for a couple of minutes, and
we got to meet
was cool about it.
Epic, so
I had reached out to Robert Sierra, mm-hmm. and then Robert Lerma had found out right before we were going that we met him too, the barbecue photographer.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm talking to him this weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so we met him. And, well, he found out we were going. He was like, hey, I'm in town. And so it was just short notice. So we didn't actually get to go have barbecue with him. And then Robert Sierra, he was going to meet us at Snow's or Truth. And but he was doing a barbecue relief out in San Antonio, I think, that day. The hurricane, so it didn't work out. So we'll link up with them at another point, hopefully. But we did meet Robert Lerma. He met us up for tacos at Veracruz.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. So we met a couple people, and then in addition to that, every single barbecue spot we visited, we got to meet the pitmasters. So that was really cool.
How cool is that? Is that I always wonder is that just cool to us, or is it? Because they're the rock stars in my world.
Yeah. We went because we met Dylan a year ago when we were at La Barbecue, and I think he was kind of just starting there.
Okay.
Maybe he was there 4 or 5 months.
Really nice.
And
guy.
So he was a really nice guy, and he showed us the pits at the time. And I have a picture where I'm taking a picture opening the door, and you just see his thumb in the picture. He gave it a thumbs up, but he actually didn't make it. He's a really tall guy, so he didn't make it into the frame.
Oh, that's funny.
And when we were at Truth, we took a picture with Leonard, and then we were leaving, and then he happened to walk out the back door, and we were talking. We talked to him for a couple of minutes. He says, "Yeah," he's like, "I remember you guys from a year ago." And so we took a picture with him, and then we went into the smokehouse, mm-hmm. the portrait. And he was just checking briskets, and he was like, "Oh, I gotta throw pork butts on." So we talked to him for a few minutes, and he's seasoning pork butts and getting them on.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool experience.
Really nice, just to kind of do the behind the scenes and to kind of be taken back and.
Well, the whole culinary, it's fun. It's fun for me even just to be in a kitchen at a restaurant when they're cooking. It's just to see that, because to see actually what's happening. And then in the barbecue world, it's really the behind the scenes, like you said, Michelle, is fantastic.
Yeah. When we went to La Barbecue, so we were just driving by. We were on Cesar Chavez, and I just happened to look to my left because I knew it was right there. And I saw Brendan sitting down, and I was just like, I think that's him. So we went back around and parked, and they were already closed. And I just walked back there and, said hi. And he was just like, hey. So he showed us the pits. And it was at the end of their day. And he was still kind enough to show us the pits. We took pictures. And then he walked us through, the kitchen and their new stuff. They're at their quickie picky now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you went to that? Okay, it was right there. Okay, gotcha.
So he showed us the location and, kind of
the restaurant
and how they do everything.
The kitchen.
And yeah, he's happy because they have air conditioning now. Air conditioning.
Yeah, that's huge. It's especially, yeah, like right now, this time of year, it's not as huge as it will be in 6 months from now.
Yeah. We were out there, and well, we should have been really hot, but it was right after the hurricane, so it was kind of breezy, I guess, for that time of year. Yeah, it was comfortable.
Yeah, but it gets pretty nasty.
It was such a fun experience.
Yeah, it was
one of like the highlights of the year for sure.
That's awesome. That's a trip too. Like it's something that I'll put a list of your trip, but it's also something that people could use kind of like as a roadmap for themselves because it is something that you can do that. You guys went for 3 days, was it?
We got the Thursday and we left Monday. It was 4 days. And we went to Valentina's and that place was really cool. We got to meet Miguel and we got to talking with him for a while and Scott, one of their pitmasters.
And it's split up. So it has there's like the barbecue side. Isn't that kind of like there's like on either side, there's something like, or am I thinking of a different place?
Valentina's? They're Tex-Mex. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have
like the Mexican side and then like the Texas.
Yeah, they're pretty split down the center and they kind of have like the traditional Texas stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have the Tex-Mex versions of different dishes. Yeah. But
it's clever.
That resonated with me or with us.
Yeah.
Because of that Tex-Mex. You know,
yeah, we were telling them that we want to incorporate. That's what we're trying to do.
You guys have a little bit of that flavor. Like you have that backbone. You still have Central Texas, but you have.
Yeah, Miguel was like, hey, he's like, because we told him his tortillas are amazing. And
so good.
And he was just like, maybe we work something out and we'll ship you some and you can use them in your tacos. They were just like, yeah.
Yes,
we're
please.
Right down.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. But yeah, they gave us the quick tour of their pits on the trailers. And
I saw that. You did a little bit of that like Instagram Live on that or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't save it. So I don't have the actual video anymore. But yeah, it was cool. His pits are named after like his favorite singers. So like one is Cobain and I forget the other three or four, but you know.
Oh, that's too cool. That's awesome.
Most of the singers are dead. it's just kind of sad, but you know.
They're still like heroes to people.
They are, yeah, pretty much. So yeah, it was really cool to meet him and check out his pits. That's probably one of our favorite spots out there.
Valentina.
Yeah, we have to go. Every single time we're out there, we have to go. And I always get the real deal Holyfield.
Oh yeah.
So I get there before breakfast is over to get that.
Oh nice, that's awesome. Well, that's cool. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say that you'd like people to know? I think we've covered a lot of subjects, and I think just by watching this, people will know who you guys are and like know. That it runs through your blood, but I guess what's coming up next? There's nothing in December, but in
December we actually do. In December we are going to do another pop up at Angry Horse, which is in Montana.
Okay.
December.
We kind of just added 10th. That.
Yeah. So we were gonna wrap up the year and do like a small cook at home, and we did that brewery, and it was a pretty good turnout. And so they were like, well, you guys want to come back before the end of the year? And we were just like, yeah, might as well do it here. So it's close to home. Yeah. It's literally like 2 miles down the street.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so smoke, drive over there, load, set it up, and, you know, have some fun. So, that's going to be the last public event for the year. And then we might do
maybe New Year orders.
Maybe New Year or Christmas orders. Okay. I'd want to do both just because I have fun doing it.
It gives you an excuse to cook, right?
I love staying up all night. Yeah, yeah. I get jealous when, or not maybe jealous, but like I get that itch when I see Bert or Trudy's.
So do I.
Storing it and making it, doing a story, and I'm just like, not cooking today. and I'm up like I'm a night person, so I'll shoot him a message like, how's the cook going? And you know, like, and he'll do the same. Like he'll send me a message, just like, oh, what are you cooking? You know. It's been really cool to network with even the people. Here at home, doing the same thing, who have the passion for it. It's just really fun. It's been a really, really great experience this
year. Okay. So here the last thing is, so you guys are opening a brick and mortar in January, February? Is that the last, is that the scoop we're getting from this?
Yeah, no, I wish. That's definitely something that, when we first started doing the pop-ups, that really wasn't like something we thought of. It was just kind of something it actually wasn't a thought at all. It was just wanted to do these pop-ups and see kind of where it went. And now that we're not the biggest, but we've grown pretty quickly in a short amount of time, and we have a a pretty good following, and you know, people come back, and that's the question everyone's kind of asking.
We just like, feel blessed. We're so grateful. We feel so blessed. I mean, never when we started our Instagram account and did our very first pop-up, February the 26th of this year, 2017, we never, ever, Kevin, imagined that, you know, we would have been like on Eater or LA Times or even sitting
here. Yeah, that's
phenomenal. You were doing the podcast. It's all like...
It's surreal. And we sit back, Andrew and I, and sometimes we're just like, what? Like, are you sure? Like, is wake us up. You know, like, come pinch us. This is not... But we just feel really blessed, and people always ask us, so what's the next step? We don't know. You know, we just kind of...
I think that's best.
We just kind of said, let's just, you know, hop on the boat, and let's see where the sales take
us. Gotcha. I think that's that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, though, now I really would like to open something, but...
We would.
Yeah, it wasn't like something that we started this to have that be the ultimate goal, but exactly. I think just with... with the way things are going now, it kind of makes sense to hopefully try to – that's kind of like our goal. Maybe not. Maybe it won't happen in 2018, but at some point, you know, hopefully we can get there. Yeah, you just never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
With you guys, you never know. You never knew February 26th. You didn't know February 25th what was exactly going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. Next year, we're definitely looking forward to 2018, because this year was so much fun. You know, we can only imagine what's coming up next. And you know, we definitely have the smokers for it this year. We're starting off. We had a little the Yoder was like a 20 inch pipe, so it's a little guy. You know, you can barely fit two side by side.
And we made it work for so long. At the end of that,
I think I put like 5 briskets max in there. with the 500, I mean, there's so much more space, and I don't like using the top rack, so I do 12 to 15.
Nice.
But yeah, I do want another 500, so we'll see how that goes.
Right.
I saw that reaction. Oh.
Yeah. I want that. If you follow Mover, Smokers.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that dual pit that they did for Heim?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
He has his eye on that, Kevin.
So okay. I wanted I love my fat sack.
So should I tell Sonny that you're interested in?
I told him. I sent him a message, but it's like a year wait.
He's doing one right now for Style Switch, I think is what he said.
Yeah, I think it's like the second one for Style
Switch. They did one before, yeah.
But he's like a year out, and I mean, I could probably wait, but. Eric over at Fatstack is doing really nice pits too. So, you know, I quarter of the time and I can get something probably just as nice, and it's local.
True.
You know, it's LA made. And
yeah, supporting local as well is kind of cool.
So, yeah, so my goal is to get Leona off the trailer she's on, put it on a dual axle trailer, and then have another one built on the backside. Nice. And then that's where I can pull to. I'll probably need like a half ton pickup truck to. around, but yeah, we'll talk about that when that happens.
Well, very cool. You guys are growing so fast. Well, I'm a huge fan, and I know a lot of people are fans, so thank you guys for taking the time to give us a little more insight into who you guys are. So I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
All right, and enjoy it, and I'll see you guys really soon, I hope. I'll come out to your next pop-up.
Sounds good.
Look forward to it.
All right, take care. Have a good evening.
You too. <Sleep well. laughs> My dad says bye.
Tell him goodbye. Tell him I love his barbecue. Let him know that.
Okay. I'll have him make some ribs, and I'll say, here, this is my dad's product. Let me know what you think.
Sure, I will. I love him. All right, talk to you guys later.